So how many of you have ever eaten at a Shoney's? Sweet. Well, when I was in high school, I used to work at a Shoney's, and I was a waiter. So I waited tables at Shoney's, and I would love to say that it was fun, but it really wasn't. Many $1 tips abounded, so it was great. But sometimes, like, I would work on the weekends. You know, it was during high school, so I wasn't working on school nights. But I worked on the weekends, and sometimes I wouldn't come back until really, really late at night. And the most amazing thing about coming back at later at night, despite the fact that I smelled like greasy French fries and, you know, I had a wad of $1 bills to count through, was the fact that my mom was always ready, like when I got home. And she always had like a gigantic plate of delicious food. Whatever they had for dinner, like several hours earlier, she had a plate ready for me. And I would come home and I would devour this delicious meal, and it was the best way to end the night. With a little indigestion. It was great. I was reminded of these late-night home-cooked meals, though, as I reflected on this morning's gospel passage, because Jesus is urging us to be ready to open immediately when the bridegroom returns from the wedding banquet, even when he comes not until the second or the third watch at night, which means really, really, really late. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared just like my mom was ready to give me Italian food late at night. Even when Jesus comes home and maybe he smells like greasy French fries, we have to be ready for him. We have to be prepared and ready to open the door for him. And maybe, like, you know, understandably even, we might expect that when Jesus does finally return, that we would set about to feed him, that we would set about to go about serving him. But that's exactly where the story reverses. It's exactly where the story reverses. We can listen again to the gospel passage from today. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And this is meant to shock us. This is meant to surprise us that the master would come home and that he would start serving his servants. That is insane. And yet, that's exactly what happened. Christ came to serve us. He came to sacrifice himself on our behalf. He promises that when we are ready to welcome him into our lives, when we are willing to admit that we desperately need him more than anything else, that he will come and he will be our waiter, that he will serve us, that he will feed us his food. We just ate the Eucharist. He already just served us. You know, we're kind of groggy. Maybe we haven't had our coffee yet. But he's already serving us. He's already waiting on us. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so our service back to God really flows from that action of grace, that service that he's already given us. It emerges from the realization that our God has laid down his life for us, that he first served us, that he first loved us. So, like, to go back to my Shoney's story, imagine if I came home from Shoney's and began to serve my mom food instead of the other way around. And first of all, my mom is Italian, so she would never let this happen. Like, it's always mom to son food ratio, never the other way around. But that's precisely how surprising the gospel actually is. We worship a God so humble and so selfless that he takes the form of a servant, that he empties himself and begins to serve us in our lowliness, even when we're sinners. Like, that's what Paul's talking about. Like, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Like, that's crazy. But I think that sometimes it's easier for us to just go about busying ourselves with serving God, to anxiously fill up all of our time with church stuff as if we were doing Jesus a favor, as if we were doing his church a favor, as though we were saving him the trouble of waiting on us. Don't worry, God. I'm already working really hard for you. Like, you can go and help someone else. I'm already serving you. It's a lot harder to let God serve us, right? It's a lot harder to let him wait on us. Remember that moment, it's one of my favorite moments, at the Last Supper when Jesus is bending down low to wash Peter's feet. And what does he do? He recoils from Jesus and he's like, Lord, you will never wash my feet. You never will. I'm supposed to be washing your feet, basically. And yet Jesus replies, unless I wash you, you can have no part in me. Unless we allow Christ to serve us, we can have no part in him. That is the unique and authentic freedom that our faith promises us. We can't save ourselves. It's all grace, it's all gift, and we respond to that, we work with that, we cooperate with that, but it's still a gift. So allow him to constantly enter into your life, to cleanse you of your sins, to convert your heart. Let him be your savior, and let him be your waiter.